Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Doug sent me a story, said Steve, and has everything you like. New Zealand, classic car, legal issues. And, you know, I've talked before about, this happens from time to time. A car gets stolen, changes hands a few times, and winds up in the hands of somebody who's got no idea about the car's true history. The original owner finds the car and goes, that's my car. And then a fight breaks out. So this one here from stuff.co.nz, court deciphers a 17-year-old tug of war with a classic car. When Brett Irwin purchased his 1974 Ford Falcon GT back in 2009, he had plans to restore it, but he had no idea of the trouble it would cause him. The question of ownership has now been put to rest for the classic car, which was hidden, stolen, and restored, and passed through seven different owners. The High Court in Tauranga recently ruled that Brett Irwin will receive compensation for his part in an automotive saga that spanned 17 years. So, again, it's happening in New Zealand, and I believe a Ford Falcon GT is a car that was built in Australia back when Ford had a presence there. When Irwin purchased the 1974 Ford Falcon GT back in 2009, he had plans of restoring it, but he had no idea the problems he'd have because, unknown to him, the car belonged to a woman named Philippa Mules. According to court documents, the trail begins in 2003 when she got ownership of the car in a divorce from her ex-husband. Instead of handing the vehicle over, though, the husband hid the classic car and re-registered it and then illegally sold it in 2006. So the woman who's supposed to get the car didn't get it. Car, boom, disappears. The vehicle then passed through two more owners before ending up with Irwin 3 years later. Over the next 6 years, Irwin invested considerable time and money restoring the vehicle to its former glory before selling it on in 2015. In 2016, Mules tracked the vehicle down and with the help of an agent took it from its new owner. Irwin was held responsible and required to pay $46,000 in a settlement to the out-of-pocket owner. But as part of the deal, Irwin then bought the car back so that he legally owned it. Armed with the rights to the vehicle, Irwin began a two-year battle back and forth in court to recover the car from Mules. Now, here's where it gets really tricky. Everyone's claiming they own the car. While the family court had given ownership to Mules in 2003 at the time of the divorce, the car was tied up with also security interests. And to top it all off, Mules had filed for bankruptcy in 2006 and apparently had discharged or relinquished ownership of that vehicle along with the rest of her assets. So several judgments have now been issued by different courts in relationship to who owns this car and why. In June of 2018, a court ruled in favor of Irwin. At the Tauranga District Court, Judge David Cameron ruled that Mules took the vehicle without right of claim and she was effectively stealing it from the previous owner. So what's funny is, if she hadn't gone through the bankruptcy, she might have been fine. But by going through the bankruptcy and discharging all of her assets and all that stuff, she apparently no longer had the right to the car. So while the car had been stolen from her, apparently the lien on it by a lender, presumably, actually gave them a superior right and so on. But Irwin now has ownership, and so Mules now is liable to him because she stole the car from him. Later that year in October, Cameron then reversed his decision on the grounds that Irwin had not proved a loss, which is a necessary requirement for a charge of conversion of a motor vehicle. Irwin appealed this decision, and finally the matter was put to rest in April of 2020 at the Tauranga High Court. Judge Larry Hinton declared that Judge Cameron was in fact right the first time and proof of loss was not needed to file charges. He ruled that Mules took the vehicle without right of ownership and would be required to reimburse Irwin for the loss of the vehicle. And if they can't agree on a figure, then the court will decide. So again, Brett Irwin buys the car in 2009, planning on restoring it. And he does not know. It's passed through several hands, and it was reported stolen at the very front end of all of this. But the problem is that the person who said it was stolen from them later went through bankruptcy and discharged everything. And again, I'm not privy to the details of a New Zealand bankruptcy that apparently made it happen that she no longer had a claim to the car. Her claim to that car was gone. So when the car changed hands and winds up with this guy, he does, in fact, now own it. And by putting all that money into it, makes him even more harmed when it gets taken from him. I had a law professor once tell us that self-help is fraught with peril. Self-help is fraught with peril. And so if someone takes something from you and you want it back, taking it back yourself is a dangerous thing. Now, don't get me wrong. There are situations where it might make sense. There's also situations where you can hire someone to do it for you. A bailiff might do it. But you just deciding, you know something? I think he's got something. I'm gonna go take it back. You might wind up in trouble like this right here. So that's a problem. Interestingly enough, I've found some of the most amazing car stories in the strangest legal descriptions and or legal transactions. And I can tell you right now that I always looked the wrong way. The Daytona Charger that Bobby Isaac raced in 1969-1970 was retired in 71 because NASCAR outlawed those cars. And the car, they took it to the Bonneville Salt Flats, they set some world records with it, and then it came back and it was bouncing around down in the South for a little while. And it wound up in Alabama. And it had been taken apart, rebuilt, and parts of it had fallen up. It was a basket case. It was an absolute basket case. And the guy who owned it was Nord Krauskopf. And Nord Krauskopf is one of the K's of K&K Insurance. The other K was his wife. That was the name of his insurance agency. And, you know, it was Mr. and Mrs. Krauskopf or K&K Insurance. So Nord Krauskopf has this basket case of a Daytona. And he donated it. And he donated it to a nonprofit organization. And he decided to take a tax write-off for doing that. And he took a rather large tax write-off. And I don't remember the exact number, but I wrote an article about this for roadandtrack.com. If I can find the link, I'll put it in the description below. And he took this write-off, and the IRS goes, you can't take a write-off like that. You donated a pile of parts to somebody. It's a basket case. It's not worth anything. And Nord Krauskopf said, no, this car could be restored, which, by the way, it was. And this car set 28 land speed records at the Bonneville Salt Flats that are still on the books. Many of them were at the time. And Bobby Isaac drove it in 1970, the year he won the national championship in NASCAR. It is a significant car. And in fact, I've seen that car shows. I know it was in the Autorama one year. I mean, car is a significant car. For a long time, it was at the Talladega Museum of Speed. I mean, you know, it's a significant car. And the IRS disallowed the deduction. So Nord Krauskopf went to tax court. Both sides brought in witnesses and experts and all kinds of stuff. And the tax court ruled in Nord Krauskopf's favor. Said, yeah, that car is worth a lot of money, even as a basket case. Even as a basket case. So it's kind of funny because I did all this research and I wrote a biography of Bobby Isaac a while back. And in later years, I befriended a bunch of people doing the research. And in later years, one of my friends contacted me, Steve, I just found the craziest case. Because you're a lawyer. He's like, I can't believe you missed this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he sends me the case from tax court involving that car. And it's like, oh my gosh, because there was a bunch of details in the case that I'd never heard of before about what happened to that car after the Bonneville Salt Flats, but before it turned up restored in a museum. And it's interesting how history gets recorded in the strangest ways, including in opinions written by tax court judges. Who'd have thought? You know, so there you go. But that's a great story out of New Zealand. Doug, thanks for passing along. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Nothing is foolproof to a sufficiently talented fool.